Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. Commodity and futures broker here at StoneX. I also work with OTC and structured products, and for our end user commercial buyers and our producers and farmers, also do cash consulting too. If you have any questions for me, please contact me at 312-706-7610 or email craig.turner@stonex.com. If you're a client, call, email, or text anytime. If you're interested in working with us, please feel free to reach out and can give you an idea of what that would entail. So if you like the podcast, please go over to iTunes, give us a positive review, and if you want to check out the newsletter, you can go to turnerstake.com. So let's jump into it. I really want to talk about two things this week. Number one, just from the macro perspective, the markets have been dominated by Ukraine and Russia, and there'll be other things to talk about next week, maybe going on, like, you know, the better South American weather, or we can talk about Chinese demand coming back to the United States, or we can talk about an Indian wheat crop that should help alleviate old crop tightness. But for right now, what it's really about is Ukraine and Russia and what it does to the Black Sea exports. Black Sea exports make up, you know, for about 30% of global wheat exports. That's mainly winter wheat. And we're already tight on old crops. So, you know, where does all these old crop orders go to get filled if they can't do it in Minneapolis, can't do it in Black Sea, and which is Ukraine and Russia? And are they going to be able to do it? You know, when one thing that I think, you know, we don't talk about a little bit enough is, when exactly does Russia and Ukraine supplies get back online? You know, we had a hurricane go through the Gulf in the fall, and it knocked out corn and soybean exports for like 30 to 45 days. What's going on in the Black Sea and in Ukraine, I mean, you can't even compare the two, you know, a hurricane to basically war, and the damage that's being done to railroads, to ports, to infrastructure, to shipping. I mean, they're putting mines down in the Black Sea. I mean, you know, we're talking way longer than a 2 month, most likely, hiatus here. So we need, when I say we, I mean the global export market needs to get through basically the next 2 months before new supply can come onto the market, starting with India, and then eventually, probably, you know, North America winter wheat. So, and that's, you know, that's really more of a May, June, July kind of deal, you know, with harvest, depending on where it is and how far along the crop is. And until then, we just have very tight stocks. So what ended up happening now is, you know, this soft red winter Chicago contract has really gone to the moon. We are trading limit up still in May, Chicago wheat at 1209. I think where did we start the week? I mean, I don't think we've budged from 1209 today, and I'm recording this on a Friday. You take a look at a chart here, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We started off, I want to say, around $9, $9.30 on Monday, and, you know, here we are at 1209. Synthetically, we're trading at a record. So, and right now I have us at about, where are we? July is 11:30 at the moment, and the May July spread is at about $1.06. It's about noon Central Time. 12:36. So we're only 25. As I'm doing this recording, we're only 25 cents over the limit. I'm actually in Orlando right now. StoneX is a big company meeting down here. When I left, I was in the airport around 5 a.m. in Chicago, and May synthetically was trading at 13. about $13.36, about over a dollar over the limit. Now we're just about 25 cents over the limit. So I wouldn't be surprised if by 1:15 in an hour from now when we close, as of this recording, if May wheat came off limit right before the close, would not shock me. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But anyways, I also want to talk about that a little bit too, about synthetics and, you know, why these markets will trade above limit, what leads to them. Doesn't happen very often. It's usually very special circumstances or extreme circumstances. And when winter wheat is in tight supply and the market, you know, it's usually not traders pushing the wheat values up this high or speculators. A lot of times it's the shorts who need to get out, and two, it's the end users and the commercials trying to pay up for whatever they can to secure any kind of coverage they need until the next harvest. The nice thing about wheat is you are producing wheat in all four corners of the world, right? So, you know, there is wheat for export in North America, United States and Canada. There's wheat for export in South America, namely Argentina. There's wheat for export in the Northern Hemisphere, but, you know, North and Eastern. So, like the Europe, you got the European Union, you've got Russia, you've got Ukraine. And then in the Southern Hemisphere, on the eastern part, would be Australia. And you've got winter wheat and spring wheat in a lot of these places. So we're, long story short, we're always producing wheat for export somewhere around the world every couple of months. I don't even bring up India. So, but you know, there's, you're never that far away from a new crop supply. While on the other end of the spectrum, it's soybeans. You know, you basically got to produce 6 billion bushels and, you know, 5 billion bushels in the United States and Canada combined. And you got to produce another 6 billion down in South America. And if you don't, if you get a major crop issue, you're kind of up the creek in the global export market for 6 months until you can get another crop going. So that'd be the other extreme. And corn kind of falls in the middle there. You know, we don't produce corn for export in all four, you know, regions of the world. You know, but, you know, Ukraine is a big player now. And you do see more. South Africa, right, has corn for export. So it's kind of in the middle there. What's interesting about wheat is when wheat gets tight, like real tight, it can really fly high because so many nations do need it. You know, when you think about corn and soybeans, so much of it is either used for energy, whether it be ethanol and biofuels, or for feed. And it's easier to cut back on feed in terms of calories and diet and fall back onto grain and rice. But, you know, you can't downshift again from grain and rice. So, for example, you know, developing nations that may not be, the population might not be able to have a high protein diet, can't afford it yet. They'll have usually to get calories. And this would be in the developing world. Rice diet or wheat diet, depending on where you are. And meat and protein would be too expensive for certain parts of the population, developing nation. When you have, you know, protein, let's say meat goes too high, like, people can cut back. There are substitutes. The thing is, you can't cut back on rice and wheat if those are the calories that you're getting. One, they're the cheapest, and then if we don't have them, you can't eat the dirt, right? So it can be price rationed much faster too for that reason. Or what you'll do is you'll see nations come in and buy it at prices where they're just gonna have to bite the bullet for the quarter, you know, or the next couple of months, because you know, some nations actually are in charge of kind of feeding the population, especially with that, have a little bit more of a controlled government. So they gotta make sure that happens. So just to get a little flavor here of how sometimes it just doesn't matter on the price, right? If someone needs it and they're a big commercial buyer or a national buyer, well, you know, you gotta pay what you gotta pay, right? To keep things going. So that's one thing I would notice. I tell you too. Also, Chicago wheat. I had a very good conversation this week, and people were saying, "Well, hey, why is the Chicago wheat contract the soft red winter wheat? Why is that the one that's going bananas? Shouldn't it be hard red winter wheat? Shouldn't it be Kansas City wheat? That's the higher protein, right? Also, that's the wheat they primarily produce in Ukraine." And in theory, I would agree with them. But in practice, not everyone uses that hard red winter wheat contract. there's more volume and positions taken in the soft red winter wheat, even though it's the smaller crop here in the United States and not the winter wheat crop that they use so much in Ukraine or plant so much in Ukraine, but it is a proxy for it. That's where the volume is. That's where all the traders are. So when you have this big short exposure in winter wheat, it was and is the soft red winter wheat, the Chicago wheat. And doesn't matter if it deserves to be or not. That's just the way it is, and that's where the money is and how they're positioned, and that's who's getting blown out. So that's the second point I kind of wanted to go over there. One, just, you know, how wheat moves around the world and how often it can come into the export market. Two, why soft red winter wheat, even though it's the Chicago contract, and it might not be the direct correlation to hard red winter, but still it's the soft red winter that, you know, is blown out to the upside. Finally, I want to go over a little bit with everyone on synthetics. I've been talking all week about where wheat's been trading synthetically or other markets trade synthetically when we're limit up. And basically what we're doing is, I'm going to take an example right now. May wheat, as I'm writing this, as I'm talking, it's 12:30, 12:25 Central on Friday. May wheat, lock limit up all day, 12:09. All right. And then I go out and say, okay, well, where are we really trading? So then I go out to the next month. So after May is July. And July is trading now. July is only up 13.5 cents on the day. We're about 11:30. All right. So we're at 11:30. And I say to myself, okay, can I find the spread price? Because the spread will trade. Even though, you know, the limit on a daily futures, on a flat price futures contract is 75 cents in wheat right now. Spreads are double the daily limit. So they're 150. So as long as May versus July is at $1.50 higher on the day, then I can figure out where May is based off of the spread in July, right? So, and I'll go through that calculation in a second. So I look at my spread book and I see May, July is trading and we're at about $1.12. All right, so I'm gonna put that in. So, and I'll add a little chart to the podcast and the show notes. So I know July is freely trading at 11:30, up 14 or 15 on the day. I know, because I have access to the spread market, and I brought the actual spread quote, not one contract minus the other, actually in the depth of market for that May versus July spread in Chicago wheat, and I see we're around $1.12, meaning May is trading $1.12 over July. I know July is trading at 11:30. I know May in the spread market is trading $1.12 over July. So $11.30 July plus the $1.12 that May is trading over July in the spread market, 11:30 plus 112 is $12.42. So right now, I know synthetically May is trading right around 12:42. If someone called me right now and said, hey, Craig, I'm short wheat, or hey, Craig, I want to buy wheat, I would tell them, okay, might take me two transactions here, but I can get you long or get you out of a short position in May wheat at a right around 12:42, give or take a penny, right? I could do that. Right now, as we're speaking, I can do that if we wanted to. Earlier today, I'm actually in Orlando right now. I may have mentioned that earlier in the podcast. I flew from Chicago to Orlando for this StoneX meeting. It's in the airport, 5 a.m., looking at the prices, and we're actually around 13:40, 13:50. So even though you don't see it on the screen, if you're just looking at the flat price, you know, May is already trading about a range of a dollar today. Now you might say to yourself, how can May trade when it's lock limit? Well, the thing is, there's only, you know, May can trade in the cash market, you know, for delivery. It can trade OTC in structured products between banks and on trading desks. It can trade in the spread market, like we're just by my example just now. And it can trade in the options, because the options are still trading also. And there's a way to get a synthetic value of where the futures are based on where the options are trading. So what's really going on is there's only one restriction on May wheat, and that's the flat priced futures. That's an old rule that's been around forever. And I think when it was instituted, probably didn't have OTC, and future spreads and options weren't used as much. And, you know, back, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you couldn't get the cash, you know, market bid and ask, you know, from the Gulf and from elevators and have an idea of, you know, what was going on, or even if it wasn't elevators, if it was like a big trading house in the, you know, down in the ports doing international business, like you wouldn't, that information wasn't easy to get. You couldn't, you know, get it over a feed over online or something like that. So things have changed over the decades, and you know, most markets, unless they're synthetically trading twice over limit, we can figure out where they are and even get in and out of them. So when I take a look, so let's take a look. So that's, I think that's the last contract that needs to come off limit here. I think it's May wheat and May Chicago wheat. Looks like, yeah, May hard red winter wheat is now off limit here. It looks like we're around 1170. Minneapolis wheat was off limit. So here it took a couple of days to for this all to run its course. But you know, just remember this too. When people are short and you get a big, big shock to the system like this, you know, it takes time for them to be able to get out of the market. And if everyone, there's not just supply and demand for, you know, wheat itself on the export market, but there's also supply and demand in futures contracts. And if no one's willing to sell May wheat, then it will go as high as it possibly can go until people are willing to let you get out. And that is what we saw this week. So that's the podcast. I will add a little chart of my quote screen and the calculation I did to get the synthetics. I think it's important for everyone to know just at least the concept. You don't have to know how to do it. You know, there's going to be no quiz or homework or exam at the end of all this. But when I do talk to clients, and whether I'm talking in the podcast or in the newsletter or it's over the phone, you know, and we're talking about markets, and you know, sometimes things need to be done and people need prices for limit up markets, and I can say one thing and they kind of half believe me, right? So it's a way for me to basically explain and show you, like, this is where the market's trading. When we say it's synthetically trading at XYZ price, this is how we got there. You can see it for yourself. So the next time we talk about it, you know, you understand what I'm talking about. And that's really the point here. So I hope that was helpful. I hope you find the newsletter and the helpful too. Have a great week, everyone, and hopefully we get a little bit calmer situation next week, and let's hope things go better for Ukraine with the Russian war too. All right, have a good weekend, everyone. Talk to you later.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.